This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكيف أخاف ما أشركتم ولا تخافون أنكم أشركتم بالله ما لم ينزل به عليكم سلطانا فأي الفريقين أحق بالأمن إن كنتم تعلمون الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد once again السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Yesterday we talked about having iman in Allah and how at least some of its benefits that are most obvious when you have dependence on Allah, when you and I have dependence on him, when we have hope in him, when we develop that trust of Allah Azza wa Jal, when we have surrender to Him, and what that leads to in life, how that translates in life. Another dimension of it is actually believing in the Akhirah, meaning Allah did not create my existence alone for this world. This is a stop in a much longer journey. And my life didn't begin here. It began a long time before I was placed inside of my mother. And my life has gone through different stages. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبْقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Right? Allah says you're going to climb one stage after another. So a long time before we were, you know, before any of this, we were actually already in the presence of Allah. And we've already had a conversation with Allah. Allah has already asked every single one of us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. Am I not your master? We've already told him, of course you are. We testify to it. أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah told us already before we even got here. Now you don't get to say, you know, when the day of resurrection comes, we had no idea about this. We already knew about Iblis. We already knew about our father Adam. We already knew about Jannah and Nar. We already knew that this world is going to be a test. All of that was already embedded into our subconscious. And most important of all, a pursuit of Allah Himself. Allah Azza wa Jalla in a hadith describing Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Certainly Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Right? And I've talked about this in other lectures, but in connection to iman, this is an important conversation. You know, from an evolutionary point of view, evolutionary biologists and scientists and people that have developed an atheistic mindset basically think of human beings as an evolved form of other species. So, you know, rats and ants and you know, mammals and fish or whatever, they also, you know, they just want food, they want shelter, and they want to procreate and continue their species, and that's it, right? That's what ants do, that's what chicken do, that's what any species does, and human beings do it too. We want to have food, and we want to have shelter, and we want to continue our species. That's it. So we're in a sense where we have a lot in common with, you know, the animal kingdom. In fact, a lot of our genetics are similar to different species. The human embryo looks a lot like different animal embryos, right? So from that point of view, they just say, well, we're just an evolved form, just a more advanced form of other species, right? So like, oh, an ant builds a home. The only difference is we just build a much better home. And the, you know, the horse eats food. We're just better at preparing and catching food. And they procreate. We're just more advanced about it. That's all. We're just more advanced. Maybe a billion times more involved, 10 billion times more involved, you know, more advanced, but essentially it's the same thing. Well, the Quran comes along and actually pokes a hole in that mindset. And is essentially asking the question of a few things. First of all, the human being has inside of him and her a rahmah, a compassion, a love and a care that other species, you may find a glimpse of it here and there, but we have it like no other species. Where did that come from?
Why is it that we're even taking care of plants? We're even taking care of other species, other animals. Why is it that we have the urge to take care of even those that we have nothing to do with, other human beings and even other creations? And but more importantly even, why is it that human beings have this desire for beauty? We want to have a more beautiful home. A writer wants to write a more beautiful book. You know, a cook wants to create a more beautiful dish. That a beauty can come in the form of taste, in the form of smell, in the form of what you see, in the form of what you think about, right? A poet wants to write more beautiful poetry. So one of the quests that human beings have at the most basic and even at the most advanced intellectual levels is human beings are pursuing some kind of perfection, something more beautiful than the last thing, right? And it's way more than no other species has this. A species can make a bird can make a nest, and it's not going to come back and say, I need some home improvement. I need different color twigs. It's not going to do that. Human beings will say, this color combination, I think I can improve it. I think we need a different color set of curtains, or this material will look better. And a cook is going to say, I need to add this ingredient or that ingredient. You know, for other species, so long as they get their proteins, their carbs, they get their fat, they're done. They don't need to add salt to anything. They don't need the ketchup on the side. They don't need any of that stuff. Human beings want these things. Now, the question arises, where do we get the desire to do that? Why do we want better and better? Perhaps the answer lies in the fact that we were originally in the company of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the perfection of all things, and He is beauty itself. And our incomplete quest for beauty, that's why everything we pursue that's beautiful, when we acquire it, we're still left unsatisfied. And then we acquire something else and we're still left unsatisfied. And then we acquire the next thing and we're still left unsatisfied. Psychologists talk about how people are, part of the pursuit of perfection is actually what drives the gaming industry. Right, when a lot of the most successful games that are out there, competitors, online gamers, are trying to win a certain contest, like the Battle Royale and Fortnite or something, right? And you're perfecting your craft. You're getting better and better. Once you get to the top, though, the dopamine hit disappears. You're like, now what? Like, I already beat it. I'm not getting the same excitement out of this anymore that I used to get, right? So the excitement level drops. You know, people that really want to go on vacation and see a waterfall, and people that get on a plane for the first time, they're like, oh my God, I'm on a plane. And they're like recording the entire experience. And they're sitting next to a person who's on a plane every other week. And they're like, oh my God, I hate this thing. I hate getting on. One person's like, they just got a ticket to Jannah. And the other one is like, this is Nar. And they're sitting in the same place, right? And you go to a vacation to like some island or somewhere. And the first time you go, this is amazing, I'm going to bring my family next year. Then you bring your family the next year. This is not as amazing, but I guess they're happy. The next year, I don't want to go there. Yeah, I already seen that. It's not that exciting. It wears off. And you know, there's a lack of tama'anina. There's a lack of contentment. There's a lack of satisfaction. And we keep looking for the next thing that's going to satisfy. That's what Surah Al-Hadid talks about. And what is... why am I bringing that up now? Because actually at the end of it, Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that know that only by the remembrance of Allah, hearts will actually become content. In other words, these things that continue to disappoint, continue to not be the perfection we thought they will be, they will continue to do that, because in the end, the only final end where you have that and you want nothing more is actually going to be the meeting with Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. I'm going to talk about that in this context. In Surah Al-Najm, Allah says, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى, that you should know that your final end is with Allah. The final end. And that has many meanings. One of its meanings is, of course, in the end, we're going to be with Allah. But the other meaning of that also is, your desires will never come to an end until you have that meeting with Allah. That's the only one, that's the final end. Then there's nothing more to desire. Then you've reached perfection, because you're now in the company of Allah Azza wa Jal. You get to see Him, you know? So now, stepping back, in this life, you wanted something to happen. I wanted something to happen. I really desired something, and it didn't happen for me, right? And life is full of disappointments. And human beings, whether they're Muslim or not, face disappointments. We get hit with difficult times. We get hit with shattered dreams, right? You wanted something to really happen. It was your life goal. You really, really desired it more than anything else, and it just did not happen. For a disbeliever, that might be the end of it. That might be the end of the road. In fact, if it's hard enough, that might make somebody addicted to drugs, alcohol. It might make somebody suicidal. It might make somebody spiral into depression. You know, it can cause all kinds of, you know, downfall inside of a person. They're broken inside because what they desired so much, what I desired so much, did not. I wasn't given it, or it was taken away from me. Does Allah say something about that? Yeah, He says, "Dharufa talibu wal matlubu ma qadarullaha haqqa qadrihi." The one who's seeking and the thing that is being sought are both weak. And they didn't appreciate Allah the way He deserved to be appreciated. As if to realize that when something bad happens to us, what do we say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Our reaction, what is Allah instilling in my heart, is that when I didn't get something that I wanted, then I know that this loss is temporary. And my desire for it is also temporary. Just like this life is temporary. And this thing that I wanted to own, I should accept that I didn't get to own it. I didn't get to have it because I don't even own myself. Because I myself belong to Allah. And I myself will be returned back to Allah. This is why, you know, the opportunity to earn, for example, earn money through illegitimate means, harami. Making haram money is really easy, by the way. It's way easier than making halal money, right? And so the opportunity to make haram money is there, and you put it aside. And now you're having a hard time financially because you're sticking with the halal and you're not going towards the haram, right? And it's causing your family problems. It's causing, you know, socially you're being left behind. Professionally you're being left behind. You're not, other people your age, other people in your social category, they're moving on up and you're just kind of left in the dust because you're sticking with what you believe to be halal, and that's it. You're not going to go past it, right? How does iman help in a state like that? A person deep inside them knows, the one who told me this is bad for me, I don't care who tells me this is good for me. Once he's told me this is bad for me and harmful for me, then I will disbelieve everyone else and I will believe in Allah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever disbelieves in all the rebellious, denies all the rebellious and believes in Allah instead. Once you do that, I have this contentment that even if I feel like I'm being deprived, I know my Rabb doesn't deprive. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Whatever you spend out of anything, if you spent an opportunity, you gave it away because it wasn't for you. It wasn't right. If you gave that up because it wasn't right for you, what does Allah say? It will be refunded to you. It will be given back to you. And you will not be wronged. You know? So it's a powerful thing that what iman does, it takes the sense of loss and it diminishes it. It doesn't remove it. I'm not saying once you have iman, you don't feel sad. That's not true. We're still going to feel sad. But we're able to cope with it way better, knowing that Allah will compensate. Even though we're going through pain now, but I know Allah will heal that pain. I know Allah will compensate for that pain. It's never just going to go a loss and it's wasted. There's no such thing as a waste, right? So this is actually a kind of consolation that Allah has given the believer. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam said that these people, who should deserve peace? The ones who have iman, right? Alladhina amanu. But he didn't stop there. He said, Alladhina amanu walam yalbisu imanahum bidhulmin. Not only did they believe, but they didn't disguise or mix their faith with wrongdoing. It's a scary thing that he said. I want peace because I'm a believer. But just because I'm a believer, I'm not guaranteed peace. The only way I'll be guaranteed peace is not only did I accept this faith, but also I made sure that I don't mix my faith with wrongdoing. Now, dhulm, in one definition in the Quran, like in Surah Luqman, is defined as shirk. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. But that's not the only definition. So yes, shirk is in fact wrongdoing. But dhulm is all kinds of wrongdoing. Dhulm is the kind of wrongdoing that, you know, I believe, and at the same time, in some things, I put my faith in, I compartmentalize it. So I want to talk to you for a moment about this compartmentalizing, because this is actually the definition of dhulm. Iman is an all-encompassing thing. I want you to think about iman like you put these glasses on. Everything you see through your iman. Everything I see from my faith point of view. What is right, what is wrong, what is desirable, what is not desirable, what is my priority, what is not my priority. Because I have iman, it's changed. My priorities have changed. My view has changed. But people live a compartmentalized life, you know? And I'll give you the example of that I gave before of people that live compartmentalized lives. Like scientists, right? Very rational, very research-based, very fact, you know, matter-of-fact kinds of people. And in some part of their life, the person is, you know, raised in a Buddhist family or raised in a traditional Hindu family or whatever, and they accept their religion not because intellectually that's their religion, but because it's been passed down. And so when their mother makes them go to the temple and do whatever rituals, they're going to just do it because that they're rational and intellectual and fact-based in every other part of their life. When it comes to religion, they've put that in a box and, no, this is not where I bring my brain. This is not for that. You know, and a Muslim can do that. A Muslim can say, I'm Islamic at Jum'ah. You know, religion belongs. It's compartmentalized in Ramadan. I'm going to give myself 5 prayers. I'm going to change the way I look. I'm going to change the way I dress. I'm going to change the people I hang out with. I'm going to change what I watch or don't watch. I'm going to make all these changes in Ramadan because Islam belongs here. And then when Ramadan is over, I can put that back in a different shelf and now go back to my normal routine. Ah, finally, I can be myself, you know. This is actually a form of لَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Like they didn't mix their faith. Labs is also confusion, it's also disguise. But the word labasa or labisa in Arabic actually also comes with mixing. Clarity is about separation and confusion is about mixing. So you're mixing your faith with things that don't go with your faith. And you feel like in your head, well, you know what, I can do both. I can live a little and be Muslim a little, you know. And Ibrahim alayhi salam thousands of years ago said, people who want peace inside, they're going to have to come to terms with, not only do they have iman, they don't disguise or mix that iman with things that violate it with wrongdoing. Because you're, you know, you have people, you might fall victim of this to this because nowadays there's this new trend in social media of, you know, mental health, right? And mental health is a very important thing. Self-care is an important thing. But in the name of self-care, I would argue that a lot of this stuff has turned into self-worship. It really just becomes self-worship. So nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody can question me. You know, don't let people say anything negative to you. Stay positive. You do you. You believe in you. You're amazing. You. Like nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. You know? And then now that it's all about me, then I get to express what Islam means to me, right? Even if Allah says otherwise. But for me, faith is this, this, and this. And I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I'm proud of the way I am, you know? And then people will like do all kinds of weird stuff and say, you know what? And I'm Muslim too. This is my Islam. Deal with it. Right? Well, as if they're making a point to somebody else. Ibrahim alayhi salam's worldview, what I want to instill in you and me, is I don't have to prove my Islam to anyone else. I just have to prove my Islam to my Rabb. But my Rabb actually has conditions. You don't just say, oh, you can't judge me, only Allah can judge me. And now, once I say that, that sounds really good. Now I get to do whatever I want. Because only Allah can judge me, yo. So, okay, is that why you're drinking alcohol? Yeah, but Allah knows. I worked it out in the back end with Allah. It's different with me and Allah. Don't judge. I'm like, oh, who's judging you? But you're judging the word of Allah is worthless. You're judging Allah's own words. The conditions He set on you. This is zulm. This is wrong. This is bad for you. You ignore what He says, and then you think, oh, people are out to judge me. Forget about people. What about you? What about me? You have to, in this deen, you have to pretend nobody else exists. It's just you and Allah. Are you and I able to genuinely say that when Allah has revealed something, Allah has said something about that, I get to override that with my own feelings, and my feelings are a more powerful validation of truth than Allah's word itself? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Have you seen somebody who takes their God, they takes their desires and turns them into their God? And Allah allows them to be misguided even though they know better. عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Then after Allah, who's going to guide a person like that? So here, Ibrahim alayhi salam is warning us, just because I have iman doesn't mean I'll have peace inside. And just because you can post your, you know, Instagram status and put your video out about how good you feel about yourself, you can lie to yourself all you want. I can lie to myself all I want. Inside of me, when there's no peace, I know. Inside of me, when there's a hollowness, I know. When I have to put a filtered version of myself to everybody else, then I know. Because unfortunately, image has become the new idol. We don't have to worry about Lat, Manat, and Uzza anymore. One of the idols today is the impression I'm giving people, my PR, my appearance, you know, the way I seem, the way what people think of me. You know, perception. Perception's become a god by itself. It's become a god by itself. We turn to salah 5 times a day. We turn to check on how many likes we got 500 times a day. How many thumbs up did I get? How many comments did I get? What is that? What are you feeding? What are you getting? Are you getting richer? Am I getting wealthier by the mashallahs? Oh, so nice. Also, you know, thumbs up, fire emoji, or whatever. Like, what are you feeding? You're feeding this other god that's growing inside. Right? And when that becomes big enough, then you can do all kinds of wrong, even when you have iman. Ibrahim alayhi salam warned against that. He said, "Alladhina amanu walam yalbisu imanahum bidhulm." I find this amazing. He was talking to people who don't believe, and yet he incorporated those who will come to believe and then mess up their faith. He wanted to save them from themselves too. Ulaika lahumul amnu wa hum muhtadun. Those are the people that actually have peace, and only those people. Only those people who are able to save their iman. This is another phrase he uses later on, or early on in his life, to describe this is illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. You know, on Judgment Day, nothing will be of benefit except people who come in front of Allah with a heart that was safe, and a sound heart, a well-kept heart. A well-kept heart is one that wasn't corrupted with wrongdoing. Allah protect us from wrongdoing. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And finally he says, and those are the people that are living by guidance. They're committed to guidance. So we have to become that. So now there's a connection between living by guidance, committing to guidance, and protecting our iman. You can't just say, I'm spiritually a believer, even though I don't follow any of his guidance. But spiritually, I'm very connected. Okay, well, that connection will not give you peace. That's iman, but it's got labs with dhulm. It's mixed in with dhulm. So I pray Allah Azza wa Jal allows me and you to recognize when we're doing that to ourselves. And I pray Allah Azza wa Jal allows us to maintain the peace of our faith, the gift of our faith, that is peace inside of our hearts, by way of preserving our hearts with the right kind of faith and committing ourselves to His guidance. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.